St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Coffeyville, Kansas, it's time for a Coffeyville Christmas radio program, a fundraiser for the historic Midland Theater in downtown Coffeyville. Both KGGF and the Midland Theater have a long and storied history. KGGF started in Pitcher, Oklahoma in 1927 before eventually moving to Coffeyville, and the Midland Theater opened its doors 1 year later in 1928. Tonight, members of the community have come together on this special night to relive the golden age of radio dramas as they were once performed on radio stations all over the United States. Tonight's program is being broadcast live on KGGF 690 AM as Coffeyville's Christmas gift to the four states. Tonight's sponsors are helping to bring the Midland one step closer to reopening to the public. Tonight, we'd like to thank All Smiles Dental and Denture Clinic of Ooliga, the Montgomery County Democratic Central Committee, Coffeyville Coffee at Hershey's, and also a special thanks to State Senator Virgil Peck, Bob and Denise York, and Coffeyville's Reawakening for their generosity in supporting the Midland through this broadcast. I'm your announcer, Tim Key. Now, some of you may be wondering exactly what is a radio drama? Well, before the advent of television, families would often gather around the radio to hear a live performance of a show. Topics would include anything we have on TV today: dramas, comedies, westerns, children's shows, you name it. Many of these shows were produced at the network level, say from the towering studios of NBC's Radio City. Some were more homegrown. But tonight, we present a mix of both. Our very own production of two network radio shows to be created before you live, complete with our own live sound effects. And now, under the direction of James Copeland, it's time for tonight's installment of the classic network radio drama, Our Miss Brooks, starring Coffeyville's own Liz Allen. Yes, it's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, under the direction of James Copeland. Well, many of us are spending this Christmas Eve with our families and friends, but our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, isn't quite as fortunate.
No, my family was too far away to visit, and it seems my friends had other plans. But I made up my mind not to brood about it, and I was trimming a rather tiny tree in my living room when Mrs. Davis, my landlady, joined me.
That's quite a nice Christmas tree you have there.
It isn't really a Christmas tree, Mrs. Davis. It's called a friendship tree. You see, I trim it by putting all my greeting cards on the branches with strips of cellophane tape. Looks nice, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You certainly received some pretty cards this year.
And the sentiments are so lovely. Look at this one I got from Mr. Conklin, my principal.
Mr. Conklin? What does it say, dear?
It's very heartwarming, Mrs. Davis. It says, "To Miss Brooks, may the coming year bring you much more efficiency in your work. Signed, O. Conklin."
Oh, I can hardly believe it's Christmas time again. What happy memories I have of the earlier Christmases. There was one I'll never forget. I was just 8 years old, and when I tiptoed into the living room, there was my father standing by the tree. The minute he saw me, his eyes crinkled up, and he started to laugh so that his big white beard and his huge paunch just shook with glee.
Your father was made up as Santa Claus?
Oh, no, he always looked like that. But to get back to the present, Connie, I'd love to stay here and celebrate Christmas Eve with you, but I promised my sister Angela I'd come over to her place. You remember Angela, the absent-minded one?
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Davis.
She always got a big thrill out of the holidays, too, even when we were girls. Of course, the poor dear could never remember when it was actually Christmas. And one Christmas day, she did the funniest thing.
What was that, Mrs. Davis?
What's what, dear?
What did Angela do?
Angela?
Your sister.
My sister?
The absent-minded one. What did she do?
Well, I haven't spoken to Angela in some time. What has she been up to?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. Maybe I can refresh your memory. Christmas morning, Angela did the funniest thing.
Oh, Christmas morning isn't until tomorrow, Connie. You must be confused.
Well, don't worry about it. I only get these spells once in a while.
Well, you shouldn't let it go, Connie. If you don't mind my offering a little advice, I'd like to suggest to you, you train your mind to concentrate more.
I'll do it, Mrs. Davis.
Now then, I've developed a little scheme which works wonders for me. Supposing you have trouble remembering where you put things around the house, where you just keep repeating the location to yourself with a sort of a rhythm. For example, I just chant to myself, the mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. The mustard's in the closet, the bread is in the box. Now, isn't that simple? Mustard's in the closet, bread in the box.
That's wonderful, Mrs. Davis. If anybody wants a mustard sandwich, you're really ready.
Yes, now, before I do anything else, I want to invite you to join me tonight.
Join you?
Yes, dear, I'm going over to,
Angela's house?
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, she's so cute with that little absent mind of hers. Why, sometimes she forgets what she was talking about right in the middle of... Oh, dear me, I hope there's enough milk for the cat.
Well, I'm sure if we... But then maybe someday, or if it doesn't seem to... And that's why I can't join you tonight, Mrs. Davis. But thanks anyway. I'll just spend a quiet evening here at home.
But how about Mr. Boynton? Don't tell me he's too shy to ask you for a date on Christmas Eve.
Why do you think there's mistletoe on all four walls? No, Mr. Boynton asked me all right. But then he canceled yesterday. Said he's going upstate to visit his folks for a couple of days. But don't worry about me, Mrs. Davis. I'll have a gay time. I'll listen to the radio, read, and from this window, I can see our neighbor's television antenna.
But what about the little gift you got for Walter Denton and Mr. and Mrs. Conklin and Harriet? When are you going to deliver them?
They told me not to bother. They said we'd exchange on the 26th.
The 26th? But I don't think that's the day after Christmas is the time to exchange gifts.
You don't? You should see the department stores.
Meow.
What's that, Mrs. Davis?
Oh, it's Minerva. Where are you, dear?
Meow.
Oh, she's over by the tree. Here, Rover, or Minerva.
Isn't that the strangest thing, how she bites at the pine needles? I guess the resin in them appeals to her. I swear she likes the taste of it.
I guess to her it's like a Tom and Jerry, or rather a Minnie and Mickey. Come here, Minerva. We might as well get friendly. We're going to spend the evening together.
Well, I'll be running along now, dear. I hope you don't feel too lonely.
I'll be fine, Mrs. Davis. After all, I do have an imagination. I'll hang up my stocking in a little while, and then, when I'm pretending I'm asleep, I'll sneak in and fill it. Before you know it, it'll be midnight.
Ah, midnight of Christmas Eve.
I can just picture it. A short, thin man in a black suit comes sliding down the chimney with an empty bag. St. Penniless, the school teacher, Santa Claus.
Well, at least you're not bitter. Now, Connie, about my sister,
Angela?
Oh, thank you, dear. About my sister, Angela.
Yes?
Well, good night, Dorothy.
Good night, Bernice.
Meow.
Oh, stop drinking those pine needles, Minerva. Come over here. That's a good kitty. Now I'll just settle down in Mrs. Davis' rocker, and we'll have ourselves a nice, quiet rock. I've got to exercise more. My bones are resting. Oh, it's the rocker. Kind of soothing at that. You seem contented enough, Minerva.
Meow.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Meow.
Whoops. Sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to upset you.
Gosh, I'm sleepy.
Now, who can that be? Expecting anyone, Minerva? That's funny. Nobody's here.
I'm here.
Where? Oh, leaning on my knee. What can I do for you?
I'm a salesman, but I don't believe in giving a sales talk or a sob story. All I do is tell you what I'm selling, and if you want it, okay.
Okay.
Not okay.
Okay, what are you selling?
Well, it's Christmas Eve, and I'm just a small urchin, a little on the underprivileged side. I'm trying to make a few dollars to get some wood to heat our tiny apartment. So while she's singing to my three sick sisters, my mother's lips won't turn blue.
That's what I like, no sob stories. If you're selling handkerchiefs, I'll take six.
No, ma'am. I'm selling Christmas trees. They're only a dollar a piece.
Well, I've already got a tree.
Then I'll take 50 cents.
But I don't need a tree.
How about a quarter?
Look, little boy.
I can arrange payments. Please buy one, ma'am. They aren't ordinary trees, you know. They're magic.
Magic?
Yes, ma'am. You'd be surprised what miracles will happen if you buy one.
Well, a quarter isn't too much to pay for a miracle.
It's 50 cents.
I thought you said 25.
That's when you sounded tougher to sell to.
Oh, well, before I melt down to my coal buttons and stovepipe hat, here's 50 cents.
You won't be sorry, ma'am. Here's the little tree.
Say, it's kind of cute at that. Would you like to come in and help me set it up?
Oh, no, I can't. I gotta go right home. My sisters have been alone long enough.
Your sisters? What about your mother and the firewood?
That's just a routine. My folks are attending a dinner that the other bank presidents are giving for my father.
With the pitch you've got, you'll have your own bank by the time you're 12.
Thanks a lot. Good night, lady. Oh, and Merry Christmas.
Same to you, you little underprivileged millionaire. I'll put this tree over here. Maybe we can find some trimmings for it in the morning.
Meow.
Minerva, will you stop gnawing on those pine needles? I wish I knew what makes them so appetizing to her.
Meow.
Oh, now you come here and let those things alone. There we are. Well, I guess I'm not the only one that's spending Christmas Eve alone without family or friends. But who can tell? Maybe Santa Claus has something up his big red sleeve that I don't even know about yet. Of course, I do have a squeaky rocker and Minerva. Jingle bells, merry, stuff like that. Oh, what fun it is to walk rock with a big foot, fat, drunken cat.
Miss Brooks will continue in a moment.
Hi, John. How are you doing these days?
I'm doing great.
I haven't seen you in forever. Didn't you retire?
Well, semi-retired. They couldn't live without me, so I'm back part-time.
Semi-retirement must really agree with you. Like I said, you look great and a lot happier.
Maybe I look happier because I can't stop smiling. Ever since Dr. Addie Allen Steed at All Smiles Dental and Dentures brought my smile back to life, I just can't stop smiling.
All Smiles Dental and Dentures? Where's that?
Dr. Addie and her team are just an hour down the road in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Some of the nicest, caring people I've ever met. She and her partner, Dr. Chad Garrison, provide a personal approach, high quality work at an affordable price. They even have an on-site denture lab, which you just don't find at most places.
All Smiles in Ooligah, huh? Well, I haven't been to the dentist in a while. Maybe I should give that place a call.
Do it. Call 918-443-9900. That's 918-443-9900. Then you can look and be happy just like me.
Smiles Dental and Dentures, folks. They make going to the dentist a happy experience. And now back to tonight's episode of Our Miss Brooks.
As I sat in the living room, Christmas Eve, with Minerva the cat on my lap, I couldn't help noticing that the tree which I'd bought from that wealthy urchin had a rather peculiar luminosity. Although there wasn't any artificial illumination, it seemed to glow from deep down in its branches. As I rocked back and forth, I started to get very drowsy. The little boy said this tree was magic, Minerva.
Meow.
I don't believe it either. Still, it is Christmas Eve, and some very strange things have happened on Christmas Eve. Huh? What's that? Oh, I must have been dozing. Coming! Well, it's Walter Denton. Come in, Walter.
Noel! Noel! Joyous Noel!
Gracias. Come on into the living room, Walter.
Thanks, Miss Brooks. Here, I brought you this little gift to put under your tree.
Oh, that was very thoughtful, Walter. Put it under this tree over here.
Say, okay, but you've got two trees, haven't you?
Yes, one for Minerva and one for me.
Meow.
What?
Don't pay any attention to her. She's pine needle happy.
Oh, well, Miss Brooks, as you know, I'm supposed to spend the evening nestled snugly in the tight little confines of my own small immediate family circle.
For heaven's sake, come out of there. You're giving me claustrophobia.
But I went to my father and mother and crowed their permission so
wait
that I could...
Wait a minute, Walter. You crowed their permission?
Crave, isn't it?
Of course not. Let's see. Crave, craven. Crave, craven. After you crowed their permission.
well, they wait my presence for a long enough while for me to deliver to you, Miss Brooks, this little token of my esteem and affection, which is now ensconcing under the tree.
Walter, are you still in my English class?
Sure, Miss Brooks.
Well, I'd better bone up a little. One of us is going to flunk this term.
But what I'd like to say, Miss Brooks, is something I've wanted to say for a long time.
Yes, Walter?
Well, it's a little on the sentimental side, perhaps, but for a so-called hip high school boy to be telling the teacher, it's sincere, Miss Brooks.
I'm sure it is.
It's something I feel deep down inside of me, Miss Brooks, from whence so many of one's warmer emotions stem.
That's whence they stem from, all right.
Of course, even if it does seem over sentimental or even downright sticky, I mean, Christmas Eve seems to be the time you can say things like this and not be over sentimental or sticky.
Christmas Eve is the time to say them. I just hope I get to hear them by New Year's Eve.
Well, what I want you to know, Miss Brooks, is that I'm grateful.
For what?
For my association with you during the past semester at Madison High School.
Well, thank you, Walter. I've tried to be a capable teacher.
Oh, yeah, your teaching was nothing. I don't mean scholastically. As a teacher, you were very adequate. I mean personally. The interest you took in me and my problems, oh, for that, I could never thank you if I lived to be 100. Of course, you'd be long gone by then.
Joyous Noel to you too, Walter.
Oh, you don't know what it's meant to me to have your ear whenever I needed it.
Really, it was nothing. I have another one.
Especially about girls. Remember how silly I used to get about girls? Every time one of them looked at me, I giggled like a little kid. And then overnight, I matured. I met the one woman who mattered. Harriet Conklin.
She certainly made something out of you, Walter. I don't know what, but something.
And you saw me through this difficult transition period of that war as well. While Harriet and I were adjusting to one another, oh, it was wonderful to be able to come to you for advice, Miss Brooks. It isn't every boy who has such an interest taken in him by some intelligent elderly person.
Give me back my ear. I can't hear you.
Oh, not that you're ancient or anything. Gosh, I've seen girls who don't look as good as you.
Girls? What do you think I am?
Meow.
Shut up, Minerva.
By the way, Miss Brooks, I see you got lots of mistletoe on the walls. Were you expecting Mr. Boynton tonight?
Yes, Walter, I was. We were going for a wheelchair ride together. But he had to visit his folks upstate.
His folks? Gosh, they must be well along in years.
His father's over 50. They may shoot him next spring. Look, Walter, while you're here, you might as well pick up a little gift that I got for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have, Miss Brooks. Where is it?
Under the tree, on your right. It isn't much, just a remembrance.
Oh, well, gee, I almost forgot. I can't open it yet.
Why not? Oh, you mean you want to put it under your tree at home and open it with your family?
Well, no, not exactly, but, well, I'll get it later, Miss Brooks. Oh, here they are now. I'll answer it.
There who are?
Come on in, folks. She was all alone when I got here.
Then it really is a surprise, isn't it?
We should have stayed home Christmas Eve. Besides, it's freezing out.
Now, Osgood, don't be so grouchy. Hello, Miss Brooks. Merry Christmas.
Why, it's Mr. and Mrs. Conklin and Harriet. How are you all?
I'm cold.
Oh, that's too bad. Come here, Minerva. Rub up against Mr. Conklin.
Meow.
What's that? Go away, cat.
She seems to like you, Osgood. Or is she hungry, Miss Brooks?
She's not that hungry.
I don't like cats. Why doesn't she go chase a mouse or something?
You forgot, Mr. Conklin. This is Christmas Eve. There isn't one stirring.
Meow.
Say, Harriet.
Yes, Walter?
There's a lot of mistletoe around this room.
I know. It's real pretty.
Osgood, notice all the mistletoe in this room?
What? Oh, that green stuff? More often than not, it makes me sneeze.
Oh, come on, Osgood. Let's see if it does.
Oh, now, Martha, don't embarrass me. I don't want to.
It doesn't make you sneeze, does it, Harriet?
I'm willing to find out. Here's a nice wreath on this wall.
Yeah, here we are.
Yes, here we are.
Oh, may I, Mr. and Mrs. Conklin?
If it's all right with Harriet, then it's all right with us.
Well, come on, Walter. We're getting old.
Oh, gosh. You're sweet, Harriet.
Isn't that cute, Osgood? Oh, come here, dear. How about one for your faithful old wife?
Well, it is customary, I guess. There, I'm under the stuff.
Now, pucker up, dear.
Very well, very well. Achoo! Now, let's stop this romantic drivel. I told you I'm allergic to it, and act like adult human beings. Miss Brooks, I'd like to take advantage of this visit to inquire as to your plans for the coming year's classwork. Do you have your schedule all laid out?
Frankly, Mr. Conklin, I haven't had much chance to work on anything.
Haven't had much chance? But you've been away from school all week. Your vacation started last Monday.
I know, Mr. Conklin, and that's what I took the week as. I mean, a vacation is something you go on when you get the opportunity to. You don't work on it or during it unless... Even though I didn't actually go anywhere, when my vacation came along, I went on it, or was on one, usually.
And you wanted to be the head of the English department?
Please, Osgood, this is no time to talk of school affairs. We're here to spend part of our holiday with Miss Brooks.
It was very nice of you to think of me and Mrs. Conklin. It was nice of all of you. I want to... Where are Walter and Harriet?
Denton, get my daughter away from that mistletoe at once.
But Mr. Conklin, Harriet isn't allergic to mistletoe.
No, but I'm allergic to you.
Harriet's almost irresistible sometimes, especially alongside older women like, Mrs. Conklin and Miss Brooks.
Sounds like the bell. I'll get it. Why, Mr. Boynton, come in.
Thanks, Miss Brooks.
But I thought you were going upstate to see your folks.
Well, I was, but they sent me a wire that they wanted me to come here for about a week or so. They'll arrive in the morning, so I thought I'd drop by this little gift off for you tonight.
Oh, but you shouldn't have. Where is it? Let's just put it under the tree in the living room. Look who's here, everybody.
Well, it's Mr. Boynton.
Hi there, Mr. B.
This is nice.
Hello, Boynton. Pretty cold out, isn't it?
Hello, folks.
This is beginning to get a lot more like Christmas Eve every minute. Sit down, Mr. Boynton.
Oh.
I'm certainly glad your folks decided to visit you instead of vice versa.
Well, so am I. There's a particularly good reason why I'm glad.
There is?
Yes, it gives me a chance to see how my guinea pigs are affected by this cold snap. So far, they haven't reacted at all.
What do you expect them to do? Blow on their paws?
Miss Brooks, have you pointed out the mistletoe to Mr. Boynton?
Oh, why don't you stop that nonsense, Martha?
It isn't nonsense. Mr. Boynton, look at the mistletoe.
Mistletoe? Yes. A very interesting example of the flora around found in these various areas throughout the globe. An evergreen parasitic shrub. It is indigenous to the regions where apple trees and oaks abound.
Now that the lecture is over, can we ask questions?
Well, certainly, Miss Brooks.
Want to stand under it?
Stand under it? Well, you see, because of certain characteristics in its makeup, an allergy is sometimes aggravated by its presence.
I'll take a chance if you will.
Come on, Mr. Boynton.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Boynton.
Just bring him over here by this wall here.
Well, I'll get under it if you like.
Well, don't just stand there. Can't you see Miss Brooks is cooking?
Well, don't fuss for me. I couldn't eat a thing.
Mr. Boynton, don't you know what standing under the mistletoe signifies?
Well, I know what it signifies to most people, but to me,
Well, there goes 85 cents worth of mistletoe.
Hey, I know what let's do. Let's open the presents right now.
Swell!
A splendid suggestion, Walter.
Shouldn't we wait until just before we leave? Might be less embarrassing that way.
Well, if you want to open them now.
Zowie! This one tree's pretty crowded. I'll put some of these packages under this little one over here.
Look out, Walter. You're bumping into one of the branches. Look out!
Gosh, I got the funniest feeling when I touched that branch.
What kind of feeling, Walter?
Why, you're Harriet Conklin, aren't you?
Well, sure I'm Harriet Conklin. Walter, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. Nothing's the matter with me. It's just that I want to tell you something. Harriet, you've got to change. You ought to try to be more like Miss Brooks.
Well, what do you mean, Walter?
If you want me to stay interested in you, you've got to be more alluring, youthful, glamorous, feminine in that real feline Brooks way.
Walter, have you been drinking pine needles too?
Look at the tree. It seems to be glowing.
What do you mean glowing? It's just the reflection from the streetlight. This party's giving me the memes. Holidays indeed. Here, I'll just move the tree where it won't glisten in her eyes. Here we go. Ho-ho! Merry Christmas!
Why, Mr. Conklin?
Of course I'm Mr. Conklin. Happy-go-lucky, fun-loving, gag-a-minute Osgood.
Gag-a-minute Osgood?
Sometimes I've wanted to.
Miss Brooks, is that really you standing there?
I think so, Mr. Conklin. Why do you ask?
Because you suddenly look so different, so intelligent. Miss Brooks, I've made up my mind. You are now head of the Madison High English Department.
Well, thank you, fun-loving Osgood.
I'm going to put this wonderful tree where it belongs, right in the center of the room. Give me a hand, Boynton.
Yes, sir, Mr. Conklin. I'll just take this here and... Miss Brooks?
Yes, Mr. Boynton?
Come here, baby.
What?
I said, come here, Connie.
You did not. You said, come here, baby, and I'm here.
Look, he's taking her over to the mistletoe.
Isn't it wonderful?
What are you going to do, Mr. Boynton?
Just call me Phil, Connie. And this is what I'm going to do. Well, Connie, how does that make you feel?
I feel like I'm in a dream, Philip. A wonderful, beautiful dream. Mr. Boynton, where are you? Oh, where did everybody go? I must have been dreaming. Well, that's real enough. I'll be right there.
Ow!
Oh, sorry, Minerva. I didn't mean to drop you.
Merry Christmas!
I'm cold.
Why, it's the Conklins and Walter and Mr. Boynton. But you all just left. I mean, come in.
We thought it would be nice if we spent our Christmas Eve together, Miss Brooks.
Yes, and we brought a few gifts for you.
I'll just put them under this tree here.
Yes, do that, Walter.
Aren't you going to ask me why I didn't go upstate, Miss Brooks?
I know why, Mr. Boynton. Your folks are coming down to see you.
Well, how did you know that? I just got the telegram.
Don't let's get too carried away with the holidays. We've got to prepare for a hard school season ahead, Miss Brooks.
Oh, let's not talk about school affairs now, Osgood.
Walter, look at the mistletoe.
Yeah, look at it.
Now, just a minute. Before we go through all that again, will you please touch the tree, Mr. Boynton? The one on the left with the... Why, it's gone. There's only one tree.
Miss Brooks, are you all right?
Of course I'm all right. Did I dream that part too? Mr. Boynton, would you do me a favor, please?
Of course, Miss Brooks. What is it?
Would you touch the Christmas tree?
Touch it? But I...
Please, it's important.
Oh, all right. There.
Nothing happened.
What did you expect would happen?
A miracle. I'm coming.
I'm a little urgent. And I'm selling magic Christmas trees.
But you just came here.
Please buy one, lady. They only cost 50 cents a piece.
50 cents?
That's right.
Here's $2. Give me 4 of them.
That was our Miss Brooks, starring Liz Allen as Connie Brooks, Lois Hendricks as Margaret Davis, Alice Morris as the urchin, Pete Walterscheid as Walter Denton, Daryl Harball as Osgood Conklin, Chris Crane as Mrs. Conklin and Minerva, Annette Harball as Harriet Conklin, and yours truly, Tim Key as Philip Boynton. The Montgomery County Democratic Party would like to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. Our hope this holiday season is for peace on earth and goodwill towards all. Let's welcome in the new year with open hearts and minds, and for us to all work together to make Montgomery County and Kansas a better place to live. Now it's time to showcase some of our local talent. United Singers is a Coffeyville vocal music group that was founded by St. Paul's Lutheran Church music director Phyllis Jenkins shortly after the September 11th terror attacks on the United States. Like so many Americans, Phyllis felt compelled to do something to bring people together after this horrific tragedy. The group is comprised of singers from all denominations and walks of life, and regularly performs at area nursing homes and churches, bringing music and a joyful noise to the Lord throughout the area. Now, under the direction of Phyllis Jenkins, here is What Child Is This? Was United Singers and What Child Is This? You're listening to A Coffeeville Christmas live from St. Paul's Lutheran Church here on KGGF. With the increasing hustle and bustle of this holiday season, it's easy to lose track of the real meaning of the season. At this time, we welcome two area pastors to the stage. Tonight, we have Pastor John Franson of St. Paul's Lutheran Church and Joe Brooks of River of Life Tabernacle to share with us the Christmas story.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was the first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child.
And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
But the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger."
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
That was St. Paul's Lutheran Church pastor John Franson and River of Life Tabernacle pastor Joe Brooks with tonight's scripture and the true meaning of the season. Now we once again turn the stage over to the United Singers performing "Angels We Have Heard on High." You're listening to A Coffeeville Christmas, live from St. Paul's Lutheran Church here on KGGF. We're performing tonight in front of a live studio audience from the Fellowship Hall at St. Paul's. And despite tonight's event being free, many in the audience have donated at the door towards tonight's benefactor, the Midland Theater. It is our hope that the doors of the Midland will open very soon to once again allow the citizens of Coffeyville to have a place to gather for shows, movies, and music. Here with some more music this evening, a man who is also very busy year-round, and especially at Christmas, Joe Brooks, with an update on the Red Kettle campaign and a song for us tonight.
We're so glad to see everyone out this evening to enjoy this Christmas spectacular that's going on, all the singing and all of the drama. So glad to have you here to enjoy this with us. We started ringing bells with the Salvation Army on the 18th of November, and we've been busy ever since. And we are so thankful for this community that has stood with us and supported us to help us raise the funds that are necessary for us to operate. And we just thank God for you. And we ask God to bless the community. And we are so thankful to be a part of the Coffeyville community. And we are so blessed to be a part of this. Yesterday, our community service volunteers just finished up their Christmas giveaway. And we had so many more this year than we've had in the past. And it was so great to have all of these wonderful ladies working together to accomplish all of this. It might look like chaos to you, but it's controlled chaos, and they get it done. They really do. They do a wonderful job. And so I know the community is so thankful to have our community service volunteers throughout the year to work and to support our community. So I'd like to share a song with you tonight. I've been involved with the Salvation Army for many years as a kettle coordinator, as volunteer, as a custodian, as a truck driver, for many, many years I've been involved. And so since I wanted to share tonight this song that was written especially for a concert in a church on Christmas Eve, but something happened to the organ, it broke down. And so they had to use a guitar to accompany this song. So this is my thing, I don't play an organ. I kind of play a harmonica, but they call that a mouth organ, but that's a long way from being an organ. So I'd like to share tonight this song, Silent Night.
Silent night, all is calm, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, shepherds quail at the sight, glory stream from heaven above, heavenly hosts. Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, Son of God, love's pure light, glory stream from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Now it's time for our second drama of the evening, a Christmas version of Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City, in the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke. That moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Everything was all right until about a mile north of Cimarron. That's when my horse got a hoof caught in a frozen dog hole and broke his leg. So I had to shoot him, and it made me feel awful bad. I didn't feel any better thinking about the walk ahead of me. Close to 40 miles to Dodge and carrying my saddle all the way, I guess I'd been on the trail about an hour. Near as I can figure, it was around 3 p.m. when I eased the saddle off my shoulder for a rest and a smoke. And that's when I saw a stranger riding from the way I'd come, and he was tall and thin. His horse was taller and even thinner. Yeah, they made quite a pair.
Hi.
How are you?
You lost?
No, my horse busted his leg a way back. I'm on my way to Dodge.
Oh, that's your horse, huh? I saw it. On your way to Dodge, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you got any more tobacco?
Yeah, sure. Here you are.
Thanks a lot.
That's okay.
Kind of big walk you got ahead, ain't it?
Kinda.
It's going to be dark soon. You think about making camp?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Well, it's too bad. You need any food?
No, thanks. I've got enough.
Well, I thank you for the tobacco.
Sure, anytime.
Hey.
Yeah?
Not saying this beast won't drop dead from the shock, but do you want to climb on behind? Save your a piece of leather, boot leather, for a while anyway.
Well, I'd be much obliged if you think that animal of yours can carry us.
Well, She won't mind. She should have been dead a long time ago. Except she don't know it, and she don't mind.
Well, okay, thanks. Say, here, hold my saddle while I get up, huh?
Sure. Give it here. Can you manage the saddle?
Well, yeah, I got it. Well, let's go. Hey, you heading for Dodge too?
Not particular, just north. This beast will do about 10 knots with the wind behind her, but we ain't gonna get more than 5 with this load.
Well, I was kinda hoping to get there tonight. It's Christmas Eve, you know.
Oh yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
That backbone of hers sticking to you?
Oh, no. It's okay. Thanks.
I noticed that badge tied to you. You're the law?
Yeah. I'm the U.S. Marshal, and my name's Matt Dillon.
That's so? I've never seen a marshal on foot before.
Well, it happens sometimes.
How is it you're down this way? Ain't it might off your course? You marshal down here as well as Dodge?
No. I just took a prisoner over across Cimarron into Oklahoma Territory. Turned him over to the Army there.
Did you?
And then he shut up tight. We must have ridden a couple of miles without a word. I got to thinking about Dodge and Chester and Doc and Kitty and the rest of them. You know, there's something pretty special about any place at Christmas time. The backbone of the stranger's nag was just about to split me in two when he talked up.
My name is Callie, Amos Callie. We better rest a spell. She's breathing mighty hot. All right, hold up.
Well, it's getting a little chilly, isn't it?
Yeah, could I trouble you for another smoke?
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Thank you. Say,
Huh?
What's it like? What's it like in Dodge?
What?
Dodge. What's it like?
It's like any other town, I guess.
Pretty big, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess so. Not as big as New York, though.
Oh, no.
Not as big as that.
You know, I haven't been in a big city for more than 10 years now.
Oh, is that so?
No, been out down in the territories, drifting, though I thought I'd move up here this time, maybe go back east.
Oh, you're from the east, huh?
Oh, sometimes back. Say, what's it like?
What?
Dodge, any town, at Christmas, same as it used to be?
Well, I guess so.
What do you do?
Well, same as most people, I guess. What most people do at Christmas.
Well, that ain't saying a lot. What's the folks like? What does it look like? I'd just kind of like to know.
Well, I don't know. There's Front Street. That's where most of Dodge is right now. Of course, it's getting bigger all the time.
You have any kids?
No, I'm not married.
Hey, kids, they have fun at Christmas.
Yeah, they do. That's certain. In Dodge, they sometimes have a party for the kids a couple of days before Christmas. The kids like that, and then everybody gets to feeling real good and looking forward to Christmas Eve. Like last year. There was snow on the ground, but the sky was clear and you could even see the stars. I was going down the street to the Texas Trail to meet Chester and Doc. Chester, he's my deputy, and Doc, well, he's the doctor in town. And we had some work to do later on in the evening. You could You could see the lights shining behind the curtain windows, and almost everybody had a sprig of holly hanging up. They got some from the east a couple of days earlier, and I remember running into John Bumby. He's kind of a general handyman in Dodge. He never says much, but he sure had a lot to say that night.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Hi, John.
Lovely night for a Christmas Eve, isn't it?
It certainly is, John.
Yeah.
A really fine night.
Peace on earth and goodwill to men. Hey, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, that's the way it should be, John.
You know, Marshal, this is going to be quite a night for me, yes, sir.
Oh, that's so, John?
Yes, sir. Tonight I'm going to ask Miss McNish to become Mrs. Bunch.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What, John? I didn't know that.
I know. It's been a mighty fast secret, but I'm popping the question tonight.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck, John. Hey, I'll tell you what. You come by the Texas Trail later and we'll have a drink on it.
Oh, I will. I really will, Marshal. You're good and kind, Marshal. Good and kind. Merry Christmas, Marshal. Merry Christmas.
Well, the same to you, John. That may sound kind of funny to you, but John Bumby's a good man. He's a little particular at times, but good as they come, and they don't make enough like him. Of course, everybody in Dodge expected Doc and Miss McNish were sweet on each other, but it just goes to show you. I'll tell you more about John and Miss McNish a little later. So I went on down the street. You know, it's a funny thing about those words, Merry Christmas. Men say it to each other, and well, it makes them feel kind of good.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I used to be a seafaring man myself. And when you go on the sea and it comes to Christmas, things like that can, well, they can count a lot. Well, we might as well get underway again, hey?
Yeah, sure. You want to take my saddle?
Yeah, give it here, yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, here you go. There you are. Give it to me, eh?
Get up. Yep. I guess you miss it in Dodge tonight. I mean, won't you?
Well, if you could get a little more out of this old nag of yours, we might make it.
Oh, there's not a chance. She's been on her beams in pretty quick, and she's been a long reach since sunup.
Oh, okay.
Mighty bare this country up this way.
Oh, it depends on what you're used to, I suppose.
Oh, it's mighty bare where I've been, too. It's not like the sea. That's always different.
Say, how come you left it? I always heard a sailor doesn't ever get the sea out of his blood.
The sea? Yes, you can get it out of your blood, all right. But you gotta have the right reason to do it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Hey, you trying to get something out of me?
Why no. Get what? I was just remarking.
If you want to ride with me, I don't want to talk about the sea.
Well, you brought it up.
Yeah, get it up.
Listening to KGGF, Radio 69, Coffeeville, Kansas. We'll return to tonight's installment of Gunsmoke right after this important commercial message. Honey, where did you get this coffee? It's delicious.
It's Coffeeville coffee, sweetheart. Slow roasted, ground, and sold right here in Coffeeville. It's like a cup of Coffeeville.
Well, darling, I love it. The flavor is rich and the aroma is wonderful.
Yes, dear. Coffeeville coffee beans are slow roasted in small batches by professionals who know how to bring out the finest flavor. And there are so many flavors to choose from. I picked up this bag at Hershey's just yesterday.
You made a wise choice, my sweet wife. Could I please have another cup of Coffeeville?
Right away, darling.
Coffeeville Coffee, making Coffeeville famous for coffee. Get a cup or buy some bag at Hershey's today. And now, back to tonight's episode of Gunsmoke.
Well, Amos Cowley sulked along the trail for the next while, and then it was almost like he couldn't stand the quiet. Or maybe he had things on his mind. He turned his head and said,
"Go on."
"What?"
"Go on and tell me some more."
"Oh, about Dodge?"
"Yeah."
"Well, I don't know."
"Well, you try some more, huh?"
"Well, they got a little pine tree in the Texas Trail."
"A tree?"
"Yeah, it came down a long way from the north. Kitty Russell, and she's the hostess at the Texas Trail. Well, she got a lot of ribbon and gewgaws and made it look real nice. That was last Christmas."
"Was there a star on top?"
"A star? Yeah, I think so. It looked like a star, I guess. It sure looked pretty. Well, there was a difference in the place that day. Everybody was celebrating and feeling real good." "Swing open and somebody'd come in, and maybe it was just somebody you knew and to nod at. And because it was Christmas Eve, you'd come right up and say hello. Well, maybe that's a good reason and maybe not. I don't know. Anyhow, still kind of early, and Kitty and Chester were standing off looking at the tree."
"Evening, Mr. Dillon."
"Hi, Kitty. Chester."
"How do you like it, Matt? The Christmas tree?"
That's real pretty."
"It's the only tree, but one in the whole town."
"No, Katie's got one over at the Alpaganza."
"Oh, I'll have to see it later. Hey, where's Sam?"
"I don't know. Maybe he started celebrating too soon. Doc's taking over the bar."
"Yeah, that's right.
You want a drink, Kitty?"
"Sure."
"I'll get you a drink. I'll get the drinks."
"Hey, you haven't forgotten anything, have you, Mr. Dillon?"
"Forgotten what, Chester?"
"There, what did I tell you, Miss Kitty? I knew just as sure as my nose that he..."
"Oh, that. No, I haven't forgotten."
"Oh, well, I thought as soon as we got Sam sober enough to take care of the customers, that we could go on over to Doc's like we planned."
"Sure, we'll do that, Chester."
"Here you are, Matt."
"Ah, thanks, Doc."
"Well, still snowing out?"
"No, it stopped. Where are you going, Kitty?"
"Oh, I just want to look outside. Oh, real pretty."
"You know, a man thinks of a lot of things that don't mean much. Kitty standing at the door, sniffing the cold air, and the warmth inside, and the whiskey in me, and it was a good feeling. And then Chester, and he decided to take a bottle over to Mr. Hightower. He's the telegraph operator at the depot. He runs a printing shop on the side."
"Hey, Mr. Dillon."
"Yeah, Chester."
"Do you mind if I stop by the church for a minute?"
"Why, no, I don't mind."
"I just feel kind of right tonight, Mr. Dillon. Figure I ought to thank somebody before I..."
Sure. "So we stopped by the church. I've never been much of a man for church, but I went along with Chester. Wasn't anybody else there, just the two of us. Guess we sat for 10 minutes in that place. Chester a little way off with his head bowed. You know, there's a lot of peace in a church. Maybe it's the quieter, maybe it's the good people that you find there. Well, whatever it was, it made a man feel glad about pretty much everything.
I haven't been to church since I don't know when.
Oh, is that so?
I have to, well, I have to stop. She's, be calmed again, mister.
Okay.
Well, she sure wasn't built for it, I tell you. Never really seen anything like that.
Well, she is kind of old, ain't she?
I had her going 8 years, and she hasn't changed a mite. Eats like a pig and looks like a four-legged mizzen mast.
You want to smoke?
I don't mind. Hey, what about that fellow Hightower? Did you get that bottle to him?
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, I guess it was lonely over at the depot. He was glad for the company. There was a wood fire burning in the stove, but it didn't keep the cold off much.
Well, how are you, gents? Merry Christmas.
Well, how's it going, Mr. Hightower?
Oh, slow, Marshal, slow. A bit of excitement about an hour back, though.
That's so?
Yeah, the 915 got stopped between here and Hutchinson. Lots of snow back there.
They getting her out?
Oh, sure, they're trying, but I'm glad I'm not on it. It's gonna be a cool night on that train.
Well, it's kind of chilly in here, isn't it, Mr. Hightower?
Yeah, any warmer, I'm going to sleep.
Say, we brought you over a bottle of Irish for company.
Jameson's? Well, I declare, I was just thinking about a Todd before you boys come in. Now that's real friendly. Will you have a drink with me?
We sure will.
Well, let's open her up, eh? There's a couple of glasses up there on the shelf, Chester. Get them down, will you?
Now, I don't know if you get an idea about the folks in Dodge or not. They're not different from any other people. Nor their town, either. I guess maybe it's a pretty small place at that. The depot, the hall, a few stores, the church, Doc's office, and the Texas Trail, the Alfreganza, my office. They're not much, but it's where you live, you know.
Sounds all right. Living in a town back once back east. Small, I know what you mean.
Well, maybe you'll be going back.
Maybe. Say, kids, they still believe in Saint Nick?
Sure.
Mighty few kids down there where I've been. Injun kids, they don't believe in Saint Nick.
No, no reason they should, I guess.
I used to believe in it, you know.
I guess most people did, one time or another. Hey, you figure we've come maybe 10 miles?
Maybe.
Well, it's getting dark.
Well, yeah, well, come on. You want to ride in the saddle for a bit?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Well then, okay.
So we rode on, and I thought about last year, about Kitty and Doc and Chester and me going over to Doc's place after he got tired at Tendon Bar and at the Texas Trail. It was about a quarter till midnight, and we stood around and sang Christmas carols. Remember how it sounded that night and how it looked. The glow in the stove in the middle of the room and the frosty windows. Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, all right.
Hey, yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Say, that was fine. That was just fine.
Yeah, it sure was. Why do we say, we... Oh.
Shh. Ah. Listen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I feel sentimental. Darn it, that's exactly what I feel. I feel sentimental.
I know what you mean, Doc. I surely know.
Okay, Doc, bring him out.
And I remember how Doc scuttled over to the bureau and brought out some packages. The presents weren't much, and it didn't really matter what they were. And when we finished opening them, it was Chester who said what we were all thinking.
I just want to say, Miss Kitty, Doc, you, Mr. Dillon, I just want to say that this is the best doggone Christmas I ever had. And that's what I want to say.
Say, you was going to tell me about that fellow John who was courting that woman. What was her name?
Oh, yeah, Miss McNish. Well, she said yes. And you've never seen two happier people in your whole life. Yeah, she was Miss McNish Bumpy now.
Well, that's good.
You know, you might settle in for a bit in Dodge. You could get work there.
Sure would be fine if I could get back tonight, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, I can't be helped. I'd be a lot further away and a sight more tired if you hadn't come along.
Yeah, well, listen, how far you figure to be before there's a place you might pick up a horse?
I don't know, 15 miles or so maybe.
Well, we're not going to make 15 miles on this nag tonight, that's for sure.
Well, that's all right.
I'll tell you what, you go alone, you see.
Oh, no, forget it.
No, you go alone. She can hold out with one man on her, and you'll get a fresh horse, and you'll ride into Dodge tonight.
Well, thanks. That's very kind, but...
I'm telling you, I want you to go. It'll be fine. I've walked before, probably make it almost as quick as you.
Well, now, look, it's real nice of you, Mr. Callie, but no thanks.
Christmas, it don't mean nothing to me. You've got friends waiting for you.
I'll see them tomorrow.
Ah, you fool.
Well, that may be.
All them nice folks, you make them feel pretty bad.
Look, I'll stay if you want to go on along, but thanks for the ride.
Well, we might as well make camp then.
Okay, I guess so.
And listen, you want to tell me some more about what you was telling me more before we turned in?
Well, sure.
I'll take it kindly, mister. Well, get yourself settled. I've got some stuff in my pack. We can eat and maybe get a fire going. Then after we eat, you can tell me some more.
So we made a fire and then shared what we had for supper. He seemed to soften up after that, and we talked for 2 or 3 hours. It was like he was starved for news of people, everyday things, and just plain company. And that's how we spent Christmas Eve together, out on the plains. Then when the fire was dying down and I was about ready to go to sleep, he said,
Marshall?
Yeah?
I want to tell you something I've been needing to tell for a long time. Do you mind?
Of course, I don't mind.
Well then, I'll tell you, a few years ago I was a skipper on a little schooner that used to sail up and down the East Coast, you know, Boston, New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one night we hit dirty weather off New Jersey, real dirty, blew us off course, and we piled up on the rocks and knocked the bottom out.
Well, that's too bad.
There was 18 passengers aboard, Marshall. 4 of them was kids. We never saw them again, and my own My own wife and my own kid went down too.
I'm real sorry.
Well, now something must have happened to me after that. I didn't want nothing to do with ships or the sea. And I started to drift out this way. I couldn't forget, though. You know, and I didn't want to be near folks, especially kids, to remind me, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's how come I've been drifting around ever since.
Sure, I understand.
I just want to get it off my chest.
Sure, that's okay.
Marshall, I'd like to ride in the Dodge with you tomorrow. Do you think we might meet some of them folks you was telling me about?
Well, I don't see why not.
That'd be all right. Maybe I wouldn't need to drift anymore. Maybe I could drop anchor. Do you know?
Yeah, you might at that.
Yes, well, good night.
Good night.
Merry Christmas, Marshall.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Callie.
That was Gunsmoke, starring Derek Horse as Matt Dillon, David Beischlein as Amos, Pete Walterscheid as Doc Adams, Dylan Oder as John, Daryl Harbaugh as Chester, Alice Morris as Kitty, Wyatt Starnes on sound effects, and Dylan Oder. Yours truly, Tim Key, as Hightower. You're listening to A Coffeeville Christmas, live from St. Paul's Lutheran Church here on KGGF. Our sponsors this evening include All Smiles Dental and Denture Clinic of Ulaga, the Montgomery County Democratic Central Committee, Coffeeville Coffee at Hersh's, and also special thanks to State Senator Virgil Peck, Bob and Denise York, and Coffeeville's Reawakening. Tonight's music has been provided... Thank you. Tonight's music has been provided by Chris Freund, a Nashville musician who has moved to Coffeeville and a current morning show host on KGGF's sister station, US 98. Chris is also the voice of Caney Sports. Chris has several albums out, and we're so thankful to have him here tonight for our program and to perform one of his own songs at this time. Talent we have here in Southeast Kansas. Joining us now, we have Coffeeville's own Haley Bagwell. But before that, we're going to hear a number, O Holy Night, with Chris Freund.
Appears and the soul. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for coming. This is James Copeland, and for the record, this was my idea. So it's great to have everyone here, and really neat to have an idea come to fruition. So it's very exciting. We do want to thank, of course, St. Paul's Lutheran Church for hosting us tonight. And, of course, we want to thank the folks at the Midland. I know they've just been working for quite a long time to bring the Midland open once again. And we do have a free will donation for both St. Paul's and for the Midland located over by our snack area. I do remind everyone in our studio audience this evening to take some cookies because we have quite a lot and we don't need those to be floating around here. So we appreciate everyone coming on by and thank you for coming to this evening's program as it continues.
Sometimes we forget the vast musical talent we have here in Southeast Kansas. Joining us now, we have Coffeyville's own Haley Bagwell, who is no stranger to Midland fundraisers, having sang for several editions of the Midland's annual Vaud and the Ville fundraiser. Now, singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is Haley Bagwell.
Thank you.
Now, all good things must come to an end, but we appreciate everyone in our studio audience tonight making this show even better. We'd also like to thank Denise York, Daryl and Annette Harbaugh, and Tina and Jeremy Romine for their work behind the scenes. Our radio drama actors have spent many hours over the past weeks practicing their parts, and we want to thank them as well for their hours volunteering to make this event happen. We'd also like to thank Pastor Franson and Joe Brooks for their help, and the United Singers Group. Thank you to Chris Friend and providing all the musical accompaniment for tonight's show, and the entire Midland Board for all their help in making this happen. And thank you to everyone listening on the radio, wherever you may be. Now, for those who missed tonight's performance, spread the word that the show will be rebroadcast Christmas morning at 8 a.m. right here on KGGF. Until then, the citizens of Coffeyville wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.